What a delight to sing God's praises. And we sing many of our hymns, and I like to quote them as we study the Psalms because I trust they're coming from the Psalms and from the whole Bible. What a delight to have good theology to sing back to God. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 13. Continue our occasional study, coming to a wonderful psalm. Though it begins in a very somber manner, it ends with great joy and rejoicing. Psalm 13. For the choir director, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are our God. We thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us in the past, the present, and the future. As we were singing, Father, indeed, your love is changeless. And we exalt you and we glorify you today. Father, I pray that the opening up of Psalm 13 would be profitable to each soul, that we would be drawn closer to you, that we would know you better, that we would understand ourselves and our suffering and respond appropriately. Thank you for the honesty of your word that does not pretend that the Christian life and the life of faith is pain-free and only joy. Indeed, Lord, there is joy, but there's also difficulty and suffering. But Father, with you, we can get through anything. Thank you for your mercy. And indeed, again, get the glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever prayed, how long, O Lord? I know if you have been a Christian for any length of time, the answer is yes. And sometimes we pray on Wednesday nights, O Lord, how long? If your trial has been long, going on for months or years, or if you've been persecuted by a family member, by a friend, by a neighbor, you might have cried, how long, O Lord? Or maybe you've experienced heartache, which seems to last forever, or at least all the day. You would cry out, how long, O Lord? It's as if to us that God may not be there. Now we know he is there when we think properly, but we would sense and feel that he isn't. And that's why we rejoice in the honesty of Scripture. Even David felt at times that God wasn't there, even though we know he was. And if we're honest, sometimes we feel the same thing. And we would hold our head in shame and say, yes, sometimes my faith is weak. I can't see through the pain. And that's what David begins with. He cannot see God through his pain, and he cries out urgently, how long, O Lord? Spurgeon said some call this the howling psalm. He's bemoaning his pain and his suffering, as he did in other psalms, and we even see through the Scripture. And yet he moves through that howling and crying out to this beautiful ending of God's wonderful loving kindness. We're glad that the Psalms usually do not end on the note of how long. They end with joy and singing and rejoicing, and we learn a lot from that. May we, too go down that path of moving from calamity to calm. Or as Derek Kidner put it, from desolation to delight. That's what we see happening in this psalm and many others. And of course, the Psalms, as every other book of Scripture, are given to us that, in at least in one way, we would be equipped for every good work. So maybe today you're here and you're rejoicing and you're just full of a sense that the Lord is with you. But there will come times where you don't have that sense. And God has given you and me a psalm to teach us to pray. It's like when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." If you ask that question, if you want to know how to pray, well, there's 150 examples right here. And again, I always encourage you, read the Psalms daily so we can pray better and praise the Lord better. Well, we've already pointed out there's a progression in this psalm. Some have said it's mourning, verses 1 and 2, then praying, then rejoicing in the conclusion. I'll outline it in this way. Verses 1 and 2, God's face hidden. Did you catch it? How long will you hide your face from me? God's face is hidden. Verses 3 and 4, God's face sought. Consider. Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Verses 3 and 4. And then the conclusion, verses 5 and 6, God's face found. You could outline the psalm in many ways, but I believe there's this progression of God's face hidden, God's face sought, and God's face found. Delight to us as we may be in a similar case today or this week or next month, but build your arsenal of prayer, please, because these days will come. Well, beginning with the inscription, for the choir director, this psalm, as all, were meant to be sung corporately. That's why we need a variety in our hymns. That's why we started to add the hymn of the month, to introduce more variety in our singing. Also, in our prayers, we ought to have variety. We don't pray on just one theme over and over again. You don't always pray, "How long, O Lord?" But there are times when you do. It's meant to be sung and prayed, even corporately. Corporate lamentation. And it's a psalm of David. And thankfully, Tom gave a good introduction to these inscriptions. And I entrust that to your memory. Well, verse 1, coming directly to God's face hidden. Excuse me. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Four times he cries out, how long? How long? Not into the ears of the world. This isn't a complaint, a murmuring. He's actually praying. He's crying out to the Lord. If we must say, are you there, Lord? Or are you hiding your face from me? We don't just murmur within ourselves. We actually pray to God. Because he felt forgotten by God. He had a sense that God's face was hidden. And to the believer, this is horrible. We think of it in the human sense. If I couldn't speak to my wife for a day or a week or a month, I would be miserable. How much more our God? If we feel that he's not listening or we can't get to him, we ought to be and we will be discouraged and heavy-hearted. That he would seem to turn away. This is the worst thing that could happen to us. It's very personal. He says, don't forget me. How long will you hide from me? Even though it's meant for the choir director corporately, it's on a very personal note. Because he feels this pain in his heart. We feel the same in the sense that we desire to see God's face. It's not enough for us to know about God. We want to know God. We want to commune with him. We want to draw near to him. We want to sense his smile and his pleasure with us and to know that he's watching over us. We desire the same thing. But if we feel that he has forgotten us, or the heavens are like bronze and our prayers just can't make it, again, it's more of a sense or a feeling, not so much fact, because we know that he is omniscient, he's all present, he is our God, regardless of how we feel. But the Psalms, and this Psalm in particular, he's bearing his heart of what he feels. And he feels that God is distant. Here's another example. Turn over to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verses 7 through 9. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Here a psalm of Asaph, but down the same stream. It's as if God is not hearing, watching, paying attention. And sometimes that's how we feel. The Bible is honest, and this trial was long, ongoing, suffering, difficulty, four times how long? We'll have seven chief lessons. I hope you have many more for your own soul. But the first is this. The testimony of Scripture is that some trials are long. Again, the Bible's honest. Some trials are long. They go on. They seem to last forever. The pain is ongoing. Just because we believe in God doesn't mean that we will not suffer, maybe for years. Some people suffer their whole lives. Some are persecuted their entire Christian experience. Sometimes the trials seem to just keep on going. The Bible affirms that. We will have tribulation and trial and difficulty. We should not be shocked. Just knowing that doesn't do away with the pain, but it helps us to understand and to think scripturally. Some trials are long. Yet, even when we feel that, we should bring scriptures to mind. This one, but I'll insert one here. Isaiah 49, 14 and following. But Zion said, Israel, the people of God said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. And then God speaks. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. God does not forget us, though we may feel like he does. And we need reminders like Psalm 13, more at the end, but also here in Isaiah 49. And I bring this up because they sense the same thing, that God had forgotten. But we must preach to ourselves the truth, and God speaks to us, I will not forget you. Though the trial is long and ongoing for years and years, or maybe decades, I will not forget you. Or as Cooper put it, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And we, as those of us that have been here for any length of time know at Pilgrim, have been through a decade plus of trials. Long, hard, difficult. Go to the Wednesday night prayer meetings. We have some people on the list for years. And we are burdened. Lord, how long? Please heal this sister. Please heal this little boy. Please save so-and-so. But we may have a sense that God is not listening if we're honest. The Bible is honest, and it tells us that even David had those feelings and that sense. Doesn't okay them, we must instruct ourselves. But again, the honesty of Scripture. Some trials are long. Secondly, the length of a trial is a test of faith in and of itself. We are tested by a particular trial or disease or some vexing topic or issue that you face. That's a test of your faith. But sometimes we could bear it if it was one day only, but when it goes on, the lengthiness of it wears us down. Sometimes we feel, Lord, I can't go another day with this burden. Are you hearing my cry? When we sense that, we should, like David, pray in honesty to the Lord and then continue to instruct ourselves. Paul said that I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, that thorn in the flesh. Some trials are longer than others, but God gives us a remedy and instruction about those long trials. Maybe it's your pain. Maybe you have bodily pain. Maybe you have a broken heart from what happened in your youth or in your past. They can go long. But stay tuned. We have solutions coming. Let's make sure that those long trials do not harden us, do not make us lackadaisical or passionless, but may they drive us back to the Lord. Verse 2, his lament continues. Again, how long shall I take counsel, or counsels, plural, in my soul, having sorrows, plural, in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? He feels alone. He only has himself to talk to. He's just speaking to himself and taking counsel within himself. He can't hear the voice of God because his sorrows, plural, are great. We can be very self-absorbed at times. But again, make sure you fight that and press back to your Lord. You can face what Kidner calls the turmoil of thought. You're just chewing on these ideas and taking counsel in yourself round and round and looking at it. That's not healthy. We must pour that to the Lord. Instead of having this discombobulation, this fretting and anxiousness and looking at the trial from many points of view, Spurgeon calls it self-torture. Don't just keep looking over your trials and looking at them from this angle and that angle. Look to the Lord with your trials. The Holman Christian Standard, which I really like the translation, says, "How long will I store up anxious concerns within me?" This is anxiety. This is fretfulness and worrying. That's a chief sin for many of us. Anxiety. Don't just be anxious and anxious and anxious and anxious, multiplying your sorrows within. Indeed, the heart does know its own bitterness, Proverbs 14:10. You have bitterness, but don't keep looking at it. Pour it to your Lord. Listen to Spurgeon. Ruminating upon trouble is bitter work. Children fill their mouths with bitterness when they rebelliously chew the pill which they ought obediently to have taken at once. Now, that hurts me in a way because I couldn't swallow pills till I was maybe 15. Maybe some of you kids can't either. So he was a tough father, I can see. But it's a good illustration. You have a pill, and you're trying to swallow it, and your parents are saying, just take it with this or that and swallow it down. And you're fighting it, and you're fighting it, and you start to chew it, and it melts in your mouth. Does that pill taste any good, kids? No, it's horrible. It's the same thing with our bitterness and our sorrows. The more we chew on them, the more bitter they get. And David would testify to that to us. He's taking counsel, he's ruminating, he's chewing on his own troubles and his own sorrows. And not only his own sorrows, but the enemies are attacking him. All through the Psalms, we see the enemies of God's people attacking. You could apply that to the devil and his demons as well that attack us. So learn in the third place, when we have conflicts without and fears within, we should pray more earnestly. When we have conflicts without, the attacks coming upon us, and fears within, the anxiety, the struggles, the worrying, we should pray more earnestly to the Lord. Of course, I took that idea from Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:5, where he said, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. Sometimes God presses us down so low that your job is going difficult, the country's difficult, your finances are difficult, the house is leaking, your car breaks down, and then you've got your own battles with sanctification and your own anxieties and fears about many things. Sometimes it's all at once, and we say, oh Lord, how long? Remember, we noted in Psalm 6, where we first hear in just one cry, oh Lord, how long? We said, fervent cries of how long can accomplish much. So when those conflicts are from without and those fears are within, pray more earnestly. Lord, teach us to pray, but Lord, teach us to pray earnestly, like we mean it. Pray like we mean it. When you examine your prayers, do you ever feel that I'm just like a robot? I'm like an actor. I'm like Siri, just regurgitating some prayer. I'm disgusted at myself. Do you ever have that sense that your prayer is just cold? The Psalms illustrate it over and over again that our prayers ought to be fervent and persistent. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Brooks. It's sharp, so be prepared. Cold prayers are like arrows without heads, or swords without edges, or birds without wings. They pierce not, they cut not, they fly not up to heaven. Cold prayers do always freeze before they reach to heaven. Remember the Pharisee who prayed, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this guy. Or the rote prayers, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen. Those are silly stories, but how many times have our prayers been lame, weak, pointless, like birds without wings, a flightless bird? God is merciful and the Spirit intercedes and Christ intercedes, because sometimes, just like we need to repent of our repentance, we need to repent of cold, dead, dry prayers. Lord, help us to pray like we need it. You have not because you ask not. Lord, teach us to pray. Let us use these 150 examples. Let us use Daniel 9, Ezra 9 to learn how to confess. Habakkuk 3, Lamentations, how to grieve. Let us follow our Lord Jesus in his teaching when he said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Or the parable of the friend knocking at midnight. He didn't just... he pounded on the door and he kept knocking until the person got up. Do we pray in that way? I confess I don't. We thank God that he teaches us how to pray in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Look at our Lord in Gethsemane. He teaches us how to pray fervently with great sweat drops of blood over and over again, and his own disciples were sleeping. Lord, stir us up and revive us to pray better. If we've accomplished anything, praise you, Lord. I rejoice that we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. I know many of you live too far to come and you work late. I get it. Pray on your own. Pray with your family when you can come. Let us, Lord, take us to the next level in our fervency. Stir us up to have fervent prayers and persistent prayers and honest prayers. That, Lord, help us. We're goners unless you intercede. Well, he's progressing from God's face hidden, then God's face sought more directly. Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes or I will sleep the sleep of death. Three imperatives he prays to the Lord, my God. Despite his pain, he's still called God his God. The first, a plea for the Lord to consider. Consider. Look on me with your favor, Lord. Look on me with your grace. Consider me. It's like the hymn we sing. Look on me with your favor. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. Look upon me, Lord. Consider me. Secondly, a plea for the Lord to answer his prayer. We have not because we ask not. Do we ask the Lord really to do something? Or do we just think about it? A plea for the Lord to answer. Consider and answer me, O Lord. Thirdly, a plea for the Lord to enlighten his eyes, lest he die. Answer me, Lord, or I'm a goner. He needed his eyes enlightened. He needed hope. He needed brightness because, like Solomon said, bright eyes gladden the heart. He needed God to brighten his eyes. For David would say later, in your light we see light. We're in the darkness. He can't see God, but when God starts to break through, we have hope. We can see clearly. We have his light and we see him. He is our light, and in his light we see light. And we could move over to Jesus as the light of the world. Or Psalm 94:17. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have soon dwelt in the abode of silence. Lord, if you don't answer, I'm about to die. I can't make it. Whether he just felt he was going to die or he had a disease or they were going to murder him, he had a sense that he would sleep the sleep of death. So learn in the fourth place. If God's face seems hidden, then seek him all the more. If God's face seems hidden, then seek him all the more. If you are concerned that he's not listening, if he's not hearing your cries, press in more. Strive to enter by the narrow gate. Maybe you're an unbeliever and you said, I've asked him to save me, but he hasn't. So you give up. No, keep pressing in. You become a Christian by agonizing. And as a Christian, you keep on pressing in to your God to see him, to know him. We don't grow as Christians by walking a nonchalant Christian life. We don't grow by being lackadaisical or lazy. And there are so many distractions. If God's face seems hidden, then seek him all the more. Teenagers, you have many distractions. Are you seeking God all the more? You're busy, men at work, mothers at home. Are you seeking God all the more, or are we content? Been at Pilgrim 15 years. I read the 1689 London Baptist Confession. I'm in the men's reading group. I'm in the women's reading group. I'm good. Or rather, are we pressing in to know God more? Are we seeking His face at all? And if we are we seeking it even deeper each week, each day? We must excel still more. We plead for Him to reveal Himself to us, to consider us, to answer us, to enlighten our eyes. Psalm 27:8, when you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "What? Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me." Again, the older we get as Christians, we can get slack. But we ought to keep seeking the Lord. And if He seems distant, seek Him all the more. Psalm 105:4b says, "Seek His face continually." Further, David says, "If you don't help me, Lord," verse 4, "my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken." David's perennial enemies were always on the watch, like jackals or cougars. Some of you have cougars on your property. Those cougars or jackals look for a prey that is becoming exhausted, that is becoming weak, that has no protection, and they will lurch in their ferocity, attack that weak lamb, that weak pet that you have, in the same way the enemies of David would attack him and take his life and overcome him. And then they would have a celebration that they took down David, the Lord's anointed. On top of that, he would be shaken to the core. You can do a study on the positive side of not being shaken in the Psalms and the negative side of being shaken. Do that on your own, and we'll hit it definitely when we hit Psalm 16 positively. But he was concerned that he would be shaken and they would be rejoicing about it. Now, we've seen from the beginning God's face hidden, God's face sought, and now God's face found. Verses 5 and 6 begins with a glorious conjunction. I know Martin Lloyd-Jones preached on the two words, "but God," Ephesians 2:8. Here in Psalm 13:5, "but I," a beautiful, glorious conjunction, and the "I" is emphatic, apparently in Hebrew. "But I myself have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Despite how long the trial was, David's trust in the Lord's loving kindness continued. He had hope. He had a way out. He had a way of escape to see God in His loving kindness, or His steadfast love. Lesson number 5. We ought to meditate more often on the loving kindness of God. It is true that in modern Christianity, sadly, often God is presented as the one-dimensional deity. He's just love. And sometimes as Reformed people, we can have this reaction where we emphasize everything else. And we don't take time to meditate on the love of God, the loving kindness of our God. It's all through our hymns. We ought to meditate more often. Lord, help us to turn off the movie and have a longer devotion and meditate on the loving kindness of our Father. Will not that be strengthening to our soul so that when we're crying how long, we remember, yes, it's His loving kindness. It's easier to maybe watch a Seahawks game, which I could enjoy, but maybe in reality, I need to sit down in my prayer closet and do a word study on the loving kindness of my Father. Instead of binge watching the latest Netflix episode, why not go deep and find out, what does loving kindness mean? the loving kindness of your God. And I know that all of us, to some degree, can waste time on trivialities. It's not wrong to have relaxation and laughter and fun. But I believe that I, and maybe you, are weaker because we do not meditate on the character of God, particularly His loving kindness, His steadfast love, His faithful love, His loyal love, His covenant love, His promised love, His active love, His loving kindness that is everlasting, way beyond any trial we face. The trial is long, but His loving kindness is everlasting. We could spend hours ruminating on our trials. Oh, my work, my boss, my spouse, my children, my country. How much time did I spend meditating on God's loving kindness? We're weaker when we don't do that. Psalm 136, His loving kindness is everlasting, over and over and over and over. Meditate on it. Chesed, 121 times in the Psalms. We mentioned last week the heretic, Marcion. He thought the God of the Old Testament was harsh. The Old Testament speaks more about the love of God than the New. Now, of course, we know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the full revelation, but God's character as the God of covenant love is even more just in the Psalms. 121 times out of 250 in the Old Testament. Meditation, not in the Eastern sense, in the biblical sense. Considering God's ways, who God is, drawing near to Him. He is abounding in loving kindness, Exodus 34:6. When He describes Himself, part of that description is He is abounding in loving kindness. Or Psalm 36:5, Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. We ought to be excited. That's why our prayers should be passionate. Because His loving kindness extends to the heavens, and He's set it upon us in Christ. His sovereign love to His people is precious, is beautiful, is wonderful. You can read Deuteronomy 7:7-8. He didn't choose Israel because they loved Him. He set His love on them because He set His love on them. He set His love on us because He set His love on us. It's a sovereign loving kindness. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His loving kindness is everlasting. As we meditate and believe, we have to note that part. It's one thing to do a Bible study and rack up all the facts, and 121 times loving kindness is in the Psalms. Well, if I don't believe it, whoopee. It's facts only. It's useless. We must believe what we meditate upon and respond accordingly. We rejoice in God's loving kindness. We trust in Him. We have faith in Him, in who He is according to the Scripture. And He is a God of loving kindness. So no matter how long your trial is, look to Him in faith. Look to His loving kindness for you. As a father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion on us. He loves us. In the new hymn of the month, but evermore the love of God is changeless. It's unchanging. Because He is God, His love is faithful. It never ends. And therefore, His salvation of us is past, present, and future, secured in His faithfulness. And David's heart would rejoice in that salvation. Even if we die, even if our trial results in death, some of our brothers and sisters have already went to heaven. But God's salvation did not fail. They are alive. They are with Him. Further, verse 6, David says, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Lesson 6, let our desperate pleas end with deliberate praise. It happens over and over again in the Psalms. Desperate pleas end with deliberate praise. He began, how long? I can't make it. I can't see you. He comes to his senses. In the end, after he looked at God and who God is, and he says, I will praise you. That's how our prayers ought to end as well. Psalm 33:1, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. It becomes us to praise our God. One thing that should describe you and me and Pilgrim Bible Church is we are a people who praise the Lord. On the Lord's Day, through the week, what do people know us for? Cynicism? Murmuring? Or giving glory to God and praising Him? We need to praise Him more. Praise is becoming to the upright. How about this hymn? I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Our mouths ought to be overflowing. We just can't get enough out to praise our Lord. So if you begin with a desperate plea, be sure to end with deliberate praise. I will sing. I will. There's a resolution. Not just when you feel like it. If you don't feel like it, pray that you would. Because He has dealt bountifully or generously with me. What a beautiful word. We only have this word bountifully a handful of times in the Old Testament. I looked it up and it's a little tricky to get the full picture, but it said that to deal bountifully or generously was to deal fully or adequately or even a reward. Not that we earn anything by works, but yet Hebrews 11:6 came to mind, and it fits well in our passage. He looked to God in God's loving kindness, and then he rejoiced in his salvation, then he praised him, and then he said that God dealt with him bountifully or generously. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, for those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. God's method is that as we seek Him, He rewards us in revealing Himself and filling us with joy. It's wonderful. We can leave out that part of the verse. We usually focus on the faith side, not the reward. But it is a reward. As we come to God and believe in Him, He blesses us and gives to us generously. So finally, lesson 7, magnify the Lord because of His generosity to us. To you, magnify the Lord because of His generosity to us. Sing to Him, praise Him. He rescues His people because of His unfailing love. He hears our cries of how long, and He saves us. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. Listen to Psalm 116, verses 7 through 9. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We can move from the how longs of not seeing God's face to seeking God's face, to finding the face of God, to finding God Himself, that His nearness would be our good. In review, the testimony of Scripture is that some trials are long. Second, the length of a trial is a test of faith in and of itself. Third, when we have conflicts without and fears within, we should pray more earnestly. Then, if God's face seems hidden, we need to seek Him all the more. Then, we ought to meditate more often on the loving kindness of God. I urge you, I urge myself, let us take the time to know our God, to know Him. His loving kindness is so central to His character. Then let our desperate pleas end with deliberate praise. Remember Matthew Henry, what we win by prayer, we should wear by praise. Our prayer time should also be a praise time for all the answers and all that He's done for us, and our private prayers as well. Then lastly, magnify the Lord because of His generosity to us. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your loving kindness to us. Thank You for Your mercy, Your loyal, promise-keeping love, Your active love that pursued us, that saved us, that sanctifies us, that humbles us, that teaches us to pray. Lord, may our prayers not be like the Pharisee or like actors or like parrots, but Father, help us to pray like we mean it, to pray in faith, to pray persistently, to pray urgently, Lord, because we know that You answer prayer and You do great things. You love to hear Your children cry out to You. Father, reform us and revive us in our prayer closets through the week, in the car, turning off the radio, the TV, the music, and just praying to You and meditating on Your character. Father, encourage those that are in the depths today. For whatever reason, Lord, we know the Christian life does have long trials. You have been faithful to Your people through all the ages, particularly, Lord, here at Pilgrim. You have helped us through long trials, Father. You have been so kind, so gracious, so faithful. When we thought we couldn't go another step or breathe another breath, You upheld us. You have been abundantly gracious and generous, Lord, to Your people. Thank You, Lord, for Your bountiful care and Your redeeming love through Christ. We pray all of this in His wonderful, loving name. Amen.